AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. Five Americans are on their way back from the Persian Gulf after years of detention in Iran.
They're all headed for Washington, D.C., soon to reunite with family.
These Americans are now free after having endured something that I think most of us can't possibly imagine.
The Biden administration agreed to a deal in August, clearing $6 billion in frozen Iranian oil funds. In addition to the funds, President Biden also granted clemency to five Iranians who were facing charges in the U.S. for nonviolent crimes. Two who have legal status in America have chosen to stay in the country. Skyler Henry, CBS News, the White House.
There's a potential conflict between two U.S. allies, Canada and India. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Over the past number of weeks, Canadian security agencies have been actively pursuing credible allegations of a potential link between agents of the government of India and the killing of a Canadian citizen, Hardeep Singh Nijjar.
Trudeau says he raised his concerns about this to India's Prime Minister Modi at the G20 summit last week in India. An arrest in Palmdale, California, in the ambush shooting death of an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy.
The suspect chose to barricade himself and refused to initially come out. Eventually, they deployed chemical agents, and the suspect ultimately surrendered.
L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna. The pilot is safe, but what happened to a sophisticated military jet that crashed? CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The F-35 disappeared after its pilot ejected in North Charleston, South Carolina. The pilot is in stable condition. It isn't clear why he needed to eject.
A defense official just now reports that a debris field has been discovered in that area, which could, we repeat, could be the wreckage of that F-35. In the four-day-old partial auto strike against the Big Three, talks, bud.
No deal yet, which means these workers remain on strike.
UAW in the house right now?
Yeah!
Citing the ripple effect of the strike, Ford says it has had to temporarily lay off about 600 workers at this plant.
Which is in Wayne, Michigan, which is where correspondent Chris Van Cleve is. Katy Perry sells the rights to five of her albums for a cool $225 million.
They include Teenage Dream from 2010, which generated five monster hits, including Firework. Catalog rights company Litmus Group purchased the rights of Perry's five studio albums released under Capitol Records between 2008 and 2020. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
And this is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
And you heard all the youth votes going to turn out and make a difference.
Abortion, climate, gerrymandered maps. Those three things matter to young people.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile.
Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 51. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 71. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms. Lows level off around 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
FM. Folks, the theme of this show has been moving forward. And, you know, we've tried to pay attention to the state of democracy. And over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of publicity about the state of maps and where we're at on the gerrymander and state of Wisconsin. And I thought it would be really prudent of me to go out and find an expert on this subject from a nonpartisan point of view, someone who has been involved, folks, a lot, and in great detail about the state of democracy in Wisconsin and what's best for Wisconsin from a nonpartisan point of view. And that is my guest, Jay Heck, and representing Common Cause of Wisconsin. Welcome, Jay.
Mark, thank you. It's a great honor and pleasure to be with you tonight.
So just for my listeners, who is Jay Heck and what is Common Cause?
Oh, well, let me just start first by saying one of the reasons it's such a pleasure to be on your program is as a child growing up, I was a history fanatic. And when we made our tri-cornered hats and played Revolutionary War, everybody wanted to be Paul Revere. And for those that don't know, Paul Revere was the great sentinel who rode through the streets of Boston, warning people there that danger was imminent and to be ready for it. And it's appropriate that that's the name of your program, because let me just say that you yourself have been a sentinel for democracy, certainly for the last 7 years since you've been a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And so the whole state owes you a great deal of gratitude for the great work you've done in protecting voting rights and making sure that we do not become a voter suppression haven any more than we already are. And we certainly are. But anyway.
Well, thank you very much, Jay. Folks, that was not planned, and that was a complete surprise. And I'm
not paid for either.
I'm really, really humbled, Jay, but I really think it's more important for my listeners to know, who is Jay Heck and what is Common Cause? Because your nonpartisan approach, I think, is what is really needed to our discussion.
All right, let me get into the meat of the matter here. I've had the privilege of representing and being the executive director for the last 28 years of Common Cause Wisconsin. We are Wisconsin's largest nonpartisan reform advocacy organization. And by advocacy, I mean we lobby in the legislature and we educate the public about the need for democracy. And by that, I mean more voting rather than less, encouraging people to participate in the process. We believe less special interest money in government and in politics is a virtue, not a sin. We think that people should be represented fairly in the Congress and in the legislature by the drawing of the legislative and congressional districts. We believe that courts should be impartial and that judges should not be ideological in the sense that they are, easily discernible about what their views are going to be before they've even made a decision. And finally, we are just interested in trying to restore Wisconsin really to the hallowed position that we were about 100 years ago when Robert M. La Follette made the state a progressive beacon for good government, progressive, honest government, and really a model for the rest of the country. Wisconsin, former Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis said, was the laboratory for democracy. And we have lost our way, particularly, I argue, in the last dozen years from that high standard that people expected. I came to Wisconsin in 1988. I moved here from Washington, D.C. because of Wisconsin's reputation and because it was viewed by the rest of the country as the state of honest, clean politics, bipartisan cooperation, where Republicans and Democrats worked together for the common good. And indeed, as late as the 1980s, Governor Tony Earle, Governor Tommy Thompson, those were days when there wasn't a lot of money involved in our politics, and when Republicans and Democrats, although different and partisan, came together usually for the good of Wisconsin. And so that's one of the reasons I moved here. I myself grew up, I'm a native of Ohio. I grew up in Philadelphia and upstate New York as a liberal Republican, frankly. I was something that they used to call a Rockefeller Republican. Those people are all gone now. They've all been either taken to the back of the barn and executed or dismissed from the party. But back in that day, Republicans and Democrats saw alike on many issues. And there was a common idea that voting and participation in democracy was a good thing, and that trying to keep special interest groups at bay so people were represented was what was most important. And so when I moved to Wisconsin, I had worked for 7 years as a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, a legislative director for a Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania. Before that, I worked for a Republican congressman that your listeners, at least your older ones, might remember, John Anderson of Illinois, of Rockford, Illinois, a very progressive Republican who ran as an independent for the presidency in 1980. I worked on his campaign staff and ran the state of Ohio at the age of 23. But the point being that my evolution in politics, Republican, Democrat, and now for 28 years at Common Cause, has been because democracy really has always been my central interest and focus. And, my first years at Common Cause were dominated by trying to get money out of politics. Campaign finance reform was a huge issue, not only here, but around the country. We worked very closely with Senator Russ Feingold on the McCain-Feingold reform back in the early 2000s. That was a bipartisan reform. My closest ally in the legislature for years was Republican Senator Michael Ellis of NINA, the former Senate Majority Leader, on campaign finance reform. And together, he and I, Senator John Erpenbach, a Democrat, and many others of both political parties, worked to enact some significant reforms in Wisconsin. Amongst them, I might add, is the establishment of the ethics board lobbyist reporting period, where lobbyists are required to report every 15 days how they lobby in Wisconsin. But so much more. Campaign finance reform we advanced, and importantly, we were there during the legislative caucus scandal in the early 2000s, arguably Wisconsin's worst political scandal in 100 years, when the top legislative leaders of both political parties were charged with felony misconduct in public office and removed. That would be Scott Jensen on the Assembly side, Chuck Quala on the Democratic side, Brian Burke, Steve Foti, for illegal campaigning in the Capitol. As a result of that scandal, Republicans and Democrats worked together to form the Government Accountability Board in 2007. That is the predecessor to the organization that you now work for, the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And Republicans and Democrats alike supported that because it was composed of six nonpartisan retired judges who abided by the law, not by political considerations. And it worked so effectively that Scott Walker and the Republican leadership in 2015 decided it had to go. It wasn't compliant enough for them. They didn't have it under their thumb. And so they eviscerated the campaign, the Government Accountability Board, destroyed it. And I got to tell you, Mark, I was very, very skeptical and leery of what they put in its place, the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, because they were deliberately modeled after the Federal Elections Commission with a 3-3 composition on each board. And the FEC, if anybody knows anything about national politics, is a totally ineffective organization that really does not do a good watch job, group. And so that's been my evolution. But since the destruction of the Government Accountability Board, and really since 2011, we've been working on redistricting reform, on promoting voting rights, and trying to protect voters in Wisconsin from further voter suppression. We have the most extreme and restrictive voter photo ID of any state in the country outside of Texas now. Gerrymandering is the most partisan. So there are many, many problems that we have to work on. And that's just sort of a quick glimpse into the work that we do and the thing I've had the privilege to be part of for the last 28 years.
You know, just before we sort of move on, I just listening to you, I really sort of relive some of my life. I moved to Wisconsin in 1984 from Indiana, having been a steel worker for 8.5 years. And I remember when I moved to Wisconsin in 84 to go to law school, that what really hit me was the level of integrity in politics and ethics in Wisconsin politics at the time. And you mentioned Governor Thompson. At the time, I said Governor Thompson would have been a Democrat in Indiana. Okay, I mean, I just saw that much change, that there was really a healthy atmosphere in Wisconsin in 84. And, you know, we've gone through a Citizens United, I think, and the U.S. Supreme Court decision saying that money is a person, that, you know, that you can't regulate politics within the First Amendment context, has really, really put a great, great strain on our democracy. And it's really now, can we get back to democracy? Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with Jay Heck, the Executive Director of Common Cause, and we have a lot more to talk about in the next 45 minutes about democracy and what's at stake.
I was crossing the street when I met the love of my life. I chased after her. Nothing would stand in my way. Not the dog walker, nor the hot dog vendor. Finally reaching her, I asked, "What do you call that amazing smell?"
It's Gain Flings.
Gain Flings. My love had a name, but more importantly, it had a scent.
Fall in love with Gain Flings. Seriously good scent. Gain Flings with 50% more freshness ingredients versus leading bargain detergent.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise financial advisors Shannon Moon and Jason Kramer can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Shannon and Jason today at 715-421-2250. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. A proud sponsor of Badger Football.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts,
the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives.
Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give
it. You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hello, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are back live here at Your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 at WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Tonight, I'm privileged to have Jay Heck, the Executive Director of Common Cause, and we're talking about sort of the crisis of democracy in Wisconsin in 2023. And we're talking about maps and sort of the gerrymander that exists in Wisconsin. So what you've been involved in watching politics since 1988 when you got here. What's the story on maps in Wisconsin and how did we get to this place where it is, one federal court said it was not only gerrymandered, it was unconstitutionally so. So what's the history of that?
Well, Wisconsin for many years, as you know, Mark, but maybe your listeners don't realize, gerrymandering wasn't a thing. And when we say gerrymandering, what we mean is the deliberate manipulation of the redistricting process that happens every 10 years, mandated in the U.S. Constitution to adjust each district by population so that after the census. And that was never an issue in Wisconsin from the 1950s when this redistricting really started to be a thing. Up through the 2000 census, there had always been, and this helped a lot, that it had always been divided government in Wisconsin. You had either a Republican or a Democratic governor and a legislature, one or both houses of the other party. So that necessitated something that we don't really see anymore. It was called bipartisan compromise. And what that meant was that Republicans and Democrats would sort of say, well, okay, let's figure this out in a civil manner. Congressman David Obey of the 7th District, longtime powerful Democratic congressman, Jim Sensenbrenner of the Milwaukee suburbs, they would get together and sort of decide how to equally divide the congressional seats, and then the legislature would work it out. And if there was a difference or the governor disapproved of the redistricting process, it generally went to a federal court. And the federal court generally didn't do a lot. They basically sort of split the difference. But the point being is that until 2011, we never had a partisan redistricting process, really. It was pretty even. And the proof of that, Mark, is that in 2010, when the Republicans seized control of both houses of the legislature and of course, the governorship, Scott Walker, they were able to do it because the seats in Wisconsin weren't gerrymandered. There were a number of competitive seats in Wisconsin. And so they ran against Obamacare and on a whole host of ideas that drew more votes than the Democrats. And so they were able to seize control. But what they did shortly after in 2011, right after Act 10, and I'm sure you listeners are familiar with that, right after the destruction of the public finance system in Wisconsin for campaigns, right after imposing the restrictive voter photo ID law in Wisconsin, they got together in July of 2011. And as you mentioned, they imposed the most restrictive, most partisan Republican gerrymander in the country. And they did it in a way to ensure that no matter what happened in a statewide election, and your listeners understand that statewide offices, there's no gerrymandering involved. It's all the people in the state that vote. But on a district level, they made it, they ensured that even if the other party captured the statewide vote in an election for governor, say, for instance, that they would be able to not only maintain control, but barely see any movement. And that worked like a charm from 2011 up through the current day, because they doubled down again and did the same thing again in 2022. So the gerrymandering is simply a matter of manipulating the district lines. And basically what they did in Wisconsin was they packed Democrats into fewer districts. Now, it is true that in Wisconsin, geographically, we're distributed sort of in the sense that Democrats are concentrated more in southeastern Wisconsin, where you are, in Dane County, where I am, but also in the Fox Valley, in Eau Claire, in La Crosse, up in northwest Wisconsin. There are other pockets of Democratic strength. But what the Republicans did was they packed Democratic districts, sometimes 80 or 90% Democratic, safe, of course, but far less than the number of seats that they put Republicans in for, say, a 60% majority. And then when you combine the advantages that they now have with a voter suppression, voter ID law in place, and destroying public financing for elections so that they could pour more money into campaigns, they combine that with partisan gerrymandering, they were well on their way to transforming Wisconsin into a one-party state. And that was their goal. That was their objective. It was a strategic decision that they made before 2010. And it's one that has held up magnificently for them over the last 12 years. So that's sort of the sketch in the history of where gerrymandering came from. Wasn't always here, relatively new phenomenon, but locked into place. And the proof of that, Mark, and I'm sure you've talked about this before, is that Governor Evers was elected in 2018, more than 50%, 51% of the vote, 52% statewide, all Democrats elected to statewide office, but not a single seat in the Wisconsin legislature changed because of, even though Democrats received more statewide votes. And that's the power of gerrymandering. And so that's exactly why this movement has bubbled up over the last 12 years for fair maps all over Wisconsin. 12 years ago, if you and I were talking about it, no one would know what we were talking about. Now, almost everybody does.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here tonight with Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause, and we're talking about how the gerrymander took place and the threats to our democracy that's looking at us and breathing down our necks, folks. We'll be right back with Jay Heck.
Am I talking too much?
No.
Okay.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about. And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 51. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 71. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, slight chance for isolated thunderstorms, lows level off around 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 69.
Any kind of healthy discussion within the Republican Party itself? Is that a problem that I've identified, or have you seen that play out?
It is absolutely the problem, because after the 2011 gerrymander, in Wisconsin. What happened was that the Republican leaders realized that they would be able to lock in power for at least the next decade. And so what they and the interest groups that they worked with, the big money groups like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, Wisconsin Club for Growth, Wisconsin Right to Life, all of those groups, they all saw that as an opportunity to purify the party, to get rid of those voices who had expressed independence, who had expressed some willingness to buck their special interest clout because they believed in independent representation, representation of their constituents, rather than some special interest group lobbyist telling them they had to vote a certain way. And so what happened was those groups and the conservatives in the party, led by Scott Fitzgerald and others, decided, and Robin Voss, by the way, decided that they would get rid of some of these moderate voices. Senator Michael Ellis, the longtime senator from NENA that I worked with for many years on campaign finance reform, the father of the Government Accountability Board. It was his invention to create a entity with retired judges. Imagine that, deciding what the law should be as opposed to others. He was basically trapped by a right-wing group at a tavern, a bar in Madison, and caught on tape saying a few things. And they basically forced him out of running for re-election in 2014. Sadly, Senator Dale Schultz, a Richland center, a conservative Republican to be sure, but also independent, voted against Act 10, was a strong supporter of campaign finance reform, a former Senate majority leader like Senator Ellis. He was challenged, or that he was threatened with a challenge from Howard Markline, the current Republican senator, and told that if he didn't get out, that the interest groups would drop $100,000 initially to destroy Dale Schultz. He'd had enough. He said, that was it. If my party's going to do that to me, I want no part of it. So I emphasize and raise up those examples because those are examples of people in the Republican Party who were partisan Republicans, to be sure, but they were also independent-minded and also saw the value in trying to come to bipartisan consensus and agreement back before bipartisanship and compromise and consensus were bad words for the right wing of the Republican Party. They were driven out, replaced by much more partisan Republicans. And Mark, you know what the problem here is now. The problem is that Republicans now fear that right wing base so much that they themselves will do anything and say anything to appease that right wing. A classic example is the destruction of Megan Wolf, all based on destroying her because of unfounded conspiracy theories and disinformation. But if they don't appease that part of the party, they fear that in a partisan primary, all those far right wing people will oust them. And that's been the experience for moderate Republicans, at least some of them over the years. There's a few left, but they're kind of secret and you don't see them very much anymore.
You know, I think, let me just comment on sort of a couple of things that I've observed. I had the privilege of serving on the Elections Commission with Dean Knutson. Now, Dean Knutson was a very conservative Republican. He was involved with Robin Voss in the creation of the Wisconsin Election Commission and the destruction of the GAB. Yep. He was one of the architects along with Voss. And Dean Knutson got run off the Election Commission by Voss, Senator Johnson, because he had the integrity to say publicly that Trump lost in 2020. Now, Dean and I argued about a lot of things on the election commission. You know, he believed in the entity. He didn't like the nonpartisan GAB approach. But we did share this. And to Dean's, you know, credit, he believed that, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, folks in nursing homes should be able to vote.
Yeah, safe.
And we voted 6-0 to let folks at the greatest risk of COVID exercise the right to request and obtain an absentee ballot and vote.
Yes.
And nobody said boo at the time, right? Nobody said boo at the time. And so I always appreciate that Dean at least said, you know, people should vote. Right? They should vote.
Thank you, Dean.
When he said, and when he told the truth, yeah, we counted the votes and Donald Trump lost.
Right.
Right. They said, Dean's got to go.
Yes.
Now, to me, that's more than one party rule. To me, when the conservatives in your own party get thrown to the dogs for telling the truth, we have a serious problem in democracy.
Absolutely. That is I was not a fan of Dean Knudsen's because he did. He was the architect of the legislation to eviscerate the Government Accountability Board. And that just shows you, Mark, you've really done a great service by providing that as an example. When Dean Knudsen, who was in 2016 the most conservative Republican that I had ever encountered, 6 years later, is basically thrown out of the Wisconsin Elections Commission because he just simply refused to lie about the obvious truth. You are right. That is a dark place that we've gone to.
So, and you know, I mean, I remember looking at him, his face, and you know, he did not believe that Robin Voss, his friend, in quotes, friend, was going to throw him to the dogs.
Yeah.
Right? But he did. They just destroyed Dean Knudsen.
Yes.
Because he told the truth about the 2020 elections.
Absolutely.
So how does that fare? So take us to where we're at in terms of the current maps. I mean, what is the current map? And, you know, what is Robin Voss's proposal? Right? I mean, he has now thrown out a proposal. And he talks about an Iowa model. And if Robin Voss is willing to throw his friends to the dogs for telling the truth, can we as a people, as citizens, believe anything that Robin Voss has to say?
Well, absolutely.
So that's a hypothetical. But where are we at on his proposal?
Sure. Let me just say very briefly that the reason the Iowa model for reformers like myself has long been the standard that Wisconsin needs to emulate is because our constitutions are similar. Both stipulate that the legislature shall have final determination of the legislative and congressional districts. That's different, for instance, than Michigan, which, because they have binding initiative and referendum, were able to overrule the legislature there and impose a nonpartisan commission. The legislature doesn't determine the maps. The nonpartisan commission does. We can't do that in Wisconsin unless we change the Constitution. Half the states in the country have binding INR, initiative and referendum. Half do not. Wisconsin does not. We should have a program sometime just about that. But the point being that the Iowa model was fitting for Wisconsin for basically that reason, and because they utilize nonpartisan criteria to draw the maps. They don't use election results. They don't use a lot of other things. Squares are good. Rectangles are excellent. Keeping counties together are good. Communities of interest, contiguity, which is making sure there's not little islands. All of those things are requirements in Iowa. So on many levels, those were great. We all touted those for years. In 2019, we put some safeguards into the bills to be sure that the Republicans couldn't game it if they got a hold of it. Well, Robin Voss got a hold of it. He got a hold of it a week ago.
I'm sorry to sort of butt in here, Jay.
Just,
I want to talk a little bit more about this Iowa model. We're in Wisconsin. My experience with my fellow citizens is, you know, people are busy eating, trying to get their kids to school, make the paychecks, still have a vacations, you know, go out on a Friday night, see a ball game.
Yep.
Life and daily living is just sucks up their time.
Exactly.
So they barely talk about our elections, much less an Iowa model on maps. So you've been living with this. Tell us a little bit more about what this Iowa model, what are the factors in it, and what happened in 2019 and 2021. And let's talk a little bit about that before the break, and then we'll come back after the break and really get into what did Voss. You know, I'd like to call him King Voss because he acts like a king, and that's why it's the Paul Revere show. I don't believe in kings, folks. But maybe you can help us with the Iowa model of democracy a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, it's, again, it is the Legislative Service Bureau in Iowa, the Legislative Reference Bureau in Wisconsin, nonpartisan civil servants are charged with drawing the maps. The legislature cannot talk to them about them. The legislature can't say, here's what you need to do. They are in charge, and they have to use strict nonpartisan criteria to draw the maps. They do not even take into consideration the hometowns of legislators and congressmen. And so what that means is that they draw the maps for the community. So they draw districts that make sense. They keep Beloit intact. They keep Sheboygan intact. They keep, you know, Madison or Eau Claire and other places and rural parts intact in terms of counties and townships and all of those things. There's no little islands. So it makes sense to people. People have a sense of community, and they have a sense that their representation is going to be make some sense because the communities that they are being represented by, the person is representing a common interest. That's basically Iowa. And again, it's a good fit for Wisconsin with some exceptions. In 2019, though, we realized that if Robin Voss were to grab a hold of this, we needed to put some safeguards in there. And so we basically said that if the legislature, after two rounds, rejects the maps that are put forward by the LRB.
Hold that thought, Jay. We're coming back on the other side. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are coming back with Jay Heck to talk about the safeguards that need to take place for our maps.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can.
making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8 on WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. I hope you're enjoying this show and the expertise of Jay Heck and what Common Cause brings to us from as a nonpartisan objective approach. And we were talking about this Iowa model and why it would be useful for Wisconsin and how Speaker Voss's latest proposal is not in any way an Iowa model. Rather, it is, I'll call it this way. It's the King Voss model. And Jay Heck, tell us, what are the problems with the latest proposal from Speaker Voss and the far right Republicans?
Well, Voss has, in the space of less than a week, gone from opposing for 12 years redistricting reform, the Iowa model, calling it unconstitutional, to in just last Tuesday night, less than a week ago, springing out a plan, calling it the Iowa model. And look, the reason he wants to do this is quite apparent. He fears what the Wisconsin Supreme Court is likely to do to his maps, his gerrymandered maps. He fears that they will strike down those maps, order new maps for all Senate and Assembly districts to be up under new maps for 2024. He wants to delay that and prevent that from happening. And so he's now introduced what he calls the Iowa model, but it's Iowa without the safeguards. What he did was he refused to insert into the model into the Iowa legislation that we have supported for years and reformers have supported, a safeguard that stipulates that if the legislature after two rounds, and this is how it works in Iowa, if they reject the maps, nonpartisan maps drawn by the LRB in Iowa, then the third time, the legislature has the right to be able to draw districts in any way they want. In other words, like any other piece of legislation, they could amend it and they could make it partisan. They've never done that in Iowa because there's a certain amount of respect for the voters of Iowa, for the press, and for the integrity of the process that's been in place for 50 years. We have no doubt what Robin Voss and the Republicans, Devin Lemahieu, would do. They would simply vote down the first two versions of the nonpartisan maps and insert some version of the map they wanted. And the reason we know that is even though they amended that last part and made it look a little better, they still don't ensure court review of the maps. That's critical in Iowa. If the governor and the legislature can't agree on maps, it goes to the Iowa Supreme Court. He doesn't want these maps ever to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So that's what he's done. He's taken Iowa, he's put a little lipstick on it, but taken out the things that keep it from being turned into a partisan manipulation. And he's now trying to, he rammed it through the legislature, not a single public hearing, not a single piece of input from any good government group like mine, no discussion with Democrats, no discussion with the governor. A reform like this has to have buy-in from everybody for it to be believed and for it to last. And his proposal has none of it. So that is why it's not likely, even if it passes, which it did pass in the Assembly, even if it passes in the Senate, the governor's likely to veto it. And it would be close to see whether they could override that. But he wants to do anything to prevent the Wisconsin Supreme Court from actually acting on his gerrymandered maps. He wants to keep them in place at least through 2024 and string out the process. It's very clever. It's very diabolical. And it's very transparent to any of us that are watching this process.
So what do you hear around the state in terms of the discussion on these issues? Are our local communities, local press, to the extent that they still exist, are people picking up on the fact that Speaker Voss's proposal is really not an Iowa model?
Well, you know, Mark, because this is such a surprise attack and complete surprise and only less than a week old, it's only now that the word is sort of getting out throughout the state. And as you know, media coverage, while it's okay, it's not like it used to be. And it's very difficult for people to even see this stuff explained in the media in a way that they can readily understand it. And so, and as you might imagine, those on the far right get their source of information. They hear right-wing radio in Milwaukee, you know who I'm talking about, and others who, you know, say, oh, well, this is really good, and it's the Iowa model, and let's do this. So they're hearing different things. But there are people that do understand and get this. And I think the fact that it is such a disgusting process that has kept people out, no public hearing, no input from citizens on this. Two days, not even enough to send a letter to your state representative saying what you think about it. I mean, it was just pushed through. People get that. They think it smells. They find it very suspicious. And again, I don't think it has the public support that something, a reform like this has to have, and the buy-in that it has to have from all of the stakeholders, not just the Republicans. And that's all Voss has sought for. He's only brought Republicans to the table, Republicans to create the amendments, no discussion with Democrats, no discussion with nonpartisan good government groups, and most importantly, no discussion with voters, the citizens of Wisconsin. We need to have people come to Madison and tell them, the legislature, what they think of this. And it's got to be explained in a process that makes sense and everybody understands what would happen if his plan were put in place, or the Iowa plan were put in place, or whatever plan is put in place. But, you know, if you've waited 12 years, and we have, to put a reform like this into place, we can take 12 weeks to make sure this is done properly and done out in the open, transparently, and with buy-in from all of the citizens of Wisconsin that it will affect.
You know, I think you said something that was really important that I think is sort of the context of Robin Voss's approach. He doesn't want a change for 2024.
Correct.
Right? He wants to lock in the next round of elections, which really sets the stage for democracy for the next 4 years in this United States of America that is being attacked by the far right. Jay Heck, folks, Common Cause, check it out. Stay up to date. Get your facts. Robin Voss did a surprise move. His plan is not the Iowa model, folks. Check it out yourself. Jay, thank you so much for being here. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We will be back.
They are our cuddlers and coworkers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United
WFHR,
States,
and Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LaPierre.